Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online, After Midnight.
By the time the family decided to replace the fence, they had lived in the house for almost 12 years without a single problem. That was part of what made everything afterwards so difficult to explain. The house itself had been rough when her parents bought it back in the mid-90s. Half the downstairs flooring needed replaced, the plumbing barely worked, and one section of the roof leaked badly enough that rainwater collected in buckets during storms. But her father loved old houses, and over the years, the family slowly rebuilt nearly every part of it themselves. New drywall, new wiring, new flooring. By the early 2000s, the place barely resembled the collapsing property they originally purchased. And for all those years, nothing strange ever happened there. No ghost stories and no creepy feelings, nothing. That changed the week they started replacing the back fence. The original fence had leaned badly for years after several rough winters rotted the posts underground. Her father finally decided it needed replaced before the entire thing collapsed into the alley behind the property. So one Saturday morning, the family started tearing sections of it down and digging new post holes along the back edge of the yard. The strange part was that things began happening before they found anything. That first afternoon, while her father and brother worked outside digging holes for the new posts, her mother walked into the kitchen insisting she heard somebody upstairs moving furniture around. At first, nobody thought much about it because the old house always carried noise strangely whenever windows were open. But a little later, the family dog suddenly started barking toward the laundry room for no obvious reason. Not playful barking either. The kind where dogs stand stiff and alert like somebody unfamiliar just walked into the house. Her brother checked every room downstairs and found nothing. That evening, while everyone sat watching television after dinner, the hallway light near the basement door flickered several times before burning out completely. Again, nobody treated it like anything paranormal. Old houses had electrical issues all the time. Still, her mother admitted later that the entire house felt strangely tense that night, though she could never really explain why. The next morning, they continued working on the fence. Her father and brother spent most of the afternoon digging deeper post holes while she helped carry old boards into a rented dumpster sitting out front. Around midday, her brother suddenly hit something solid underground near the far corner of the property, close to the alley. At first, he assumed it was buried concrete. That happened constantly in older neighborhoods where people dumped construction debris decades earlier instead of hauling it away properly. But the deeper he dug, the larger the object became. Eventually, he uncovered enough of it to realize it was stone. Flat, smooth, deliberately shaped. Her father climbed into the hole to help pry it loose while everybody else stood nearby trying to figure out what they were looking at. The stone finally broke free late that afternoon after nearly half an hour of digging. The moment it flipped over, her mother immediately stepped backward. Even before the dirt fully fell away, she already knew what it was. The stone was badly worn and cracked near the bottom, but part of an old date remained visible near the center. She clearly saw the year 1880. Beneath it, barely readable through the dirt and weather damage, sat a single name. Lucy. Nobody spoke for several seconds after that. Her brother later admitted the entire yard suddenly felt different the moment the stone turned over. Quieter somehow. Like all the normal neighborhood noise faded briefly into the background. At first, they honestly thought maybe somebody had dumped the marker there years earlier. But while clearing dirt from around the hole, her father found something else nearby buried only a few inches beneath the soil, old rusted nails, then fragments of rotted wood. That was when the conversation changed completely, because suddenly nobody believed they had simply found a discarded headstone anymore. Her mother contacted the County Historical Society the next day, hoping somebody could explain why a grave marker was buried beneath their fence line. Unfortunately, records from that part of town were incomplete long before the area became residential property. One older volunteer eventually mentioned there were rumors about small private family cemeteries existing throughout the area during the late 1800s before the town expanded outward. Supposedly, the graves had all been relocated decades earlier. Supposedly. That same evening, the family dogs refused to go near the back corner of the yard where the marker had been uncovered. At first, it seemed almost funny. Both dogs would walk toward the fence line normally before suddenly stopping several feet away and backing off while staring toward the disturbed patch of dirt. Then later that night, her daughter woke everyone up crying. She insisted somebody had been walking back and forth through the laundry room outside her bedroom. Her mother tried calming her down by explaining the house settled loudly at night sometimes, especially after major yard work shook the ground around the foundation. But halfway through the conversation, everybody in the kitchen heard it. Footsteps, slow, heavy, crossing the laundry room floor toward the back door, then silence. Nothing was there. But when he came back inside, both dogs still stood frozen near the kitchen doorway, staring toward the dark laundry room without making a sound. The family left the headstone leaning against the garage for several days because nobody knew what else to do with it. At first, her father talked about contacting the county again, but the responses remained frustratingly vague. Records from that section of town were incomplete. Nobody seemed especially interested in investigating whether a forgotten burial site once existed beneath a residential neighborhood. One older man from the Historical Society admitted there were stories about graves being relocated when the town expanded in the early 20th century, but he also warned that smaller family plots were not always documented carefully back then. That answer bothered her mother more than she admitted openly. Because if the graves were moved, why had the marker still been buried there? And if one marker remained, what else had been missed? The atmosphere inside the house changed steadily after that. Not overnight, gradually. That was part of what made the experience so unsettling later on. Nobody could point to one dramatic moment where everything suddenly became haunted. Instead, it felt like the house slowly became aware of them. The footsteps happened first, almost always at night. Someone walking slowly across the laundry room floor toward the back door. Heavy enough that everyone in the house heard them eventually, though every time somebody checked outside, the yard sat empty, beneath the motion light. Then came the crying. Her daughter heard it before anyone else did. One night, she woke up around 2 a.m. and walked into her parents' bedroom asking why somebody was crying outside her window. At first, her mother assumed she dreamed it, but while they stood together in the hallway listening, they both heard the sound faintly drifting from somewhere near the backyard. Not loud, just soft crying carried through the darkness. Her father grabbed a flashlight and searched the entire property, thinking maybe somebody from the neighborhood needed help, but there was nobody there. The crying stopped the moment he stepped into the yard. After that, nobody liked looking toward the back fence at night anymore. The dogs refused to go near it after dark, especially the corner where the marker had been buried. During the daytime, they behaved normally, but every evening around sunset, both animals became strangely uneasy. Sometimes they would stand near the kitchen door, staring toward the fence line, with their ears pulled back low, quietly growling at something nobody else could see. Her mother eventually suggested maybe they should move the marker somewhere else, not because she believed the house was haunted exactly, at least not yet. The entire situation felt wrong to her. The stone had clearly belonged somewhere, and leaving it propped against the garage suddenly seemed disrespectful somehow. Her father agreed. Though before they could decide what to do, something happened that changed the way everyone in the house thought about the situation. It happened late one evening while her brother watched television alone downstairs. The rest of the family had already gone to bed when he suddenly heard movement crossing the laundry room behind him. At first, he ignored it because by then the footsteps had become common enough that everyone tried not to react every single time they heard them. Then the back door slowly opened, not all the way, just enough for cold air to move through the kitchen. Her brother immediately got up, thinking someone forgot to lock it before bed. But when he reached the doorway, he stopped. A figure stood outside near the fence, and at first he thought it was simply a neighbor standing in the alley behind the yard. The motion light above the garage barely reached that far, leaving most of the fence line buried in darkness. But after several seconds, he realized something was wrong. The person was not moving. And somehow, despite the distance and darkness, he became certain it was a little girl. He later described her as looking pale and strangely faded, almost like someone standing behind fogged glass. What disturbed him most, though, was the dress. Old-fashioned. Long. Nothing a child would realistically wear now. The figure remained standing beside the disturbed patch of dirt for several more seconds before slowly turning toward the alley and disappearing into the darkness beyond the fence. Her brother locked the door immediately and woke everyone else up. At first, their father tried explaining it away. Somebody cutting through the alley. A trick of the light. Exhaustion. But even he looked uneasy while checking the yard afterward. Because there were no footprints anywhere near the fence, despite rain earlier that evening, leaving most of the backyard muddy. That was the first night her mother openly admitted she wanted the marker removed from the property. The problem was figuring out where it belonged. A few days later, her father finally tracked down an older groundskeeper at the cemetery on the hill outside town. The man had worked there for decades and remembered hearing stories as a child about smaller graveyards being relocated when the town expanded. When her father described the marker and the area where it was found, the groundskeeper became unusually quiet. Then he admitted there were rumors that not every grave had actually been moved. According to local stories, one child's burial site was supposedly lost during the relocation process sometime in the early 1900s. Nobody knew exactly where the grave had been originally, only that records from the period disappeared after a courthouse fire years later. Her father asked whether the cemetery would take the marker if they brought it there. The old man answered immediately, "Yes." That same night, the crying returned, and only this time it sounded closer. Her mother woke just after 2 a.m, convinced somebody was standing outside the back door. At first, she thought one of the neighborhood kids might be hurt or playing some kind of prank, but the sound did not resemble normal crying anymore. It sounded exhausted, weak, the kind of crying that came after someone had already been crying for a very long time. Her father went downstairs first while everyone else waited near the top of the staircase listening. The kitchen remained dark except for the dim light over the stove, but the moment he reached the back hallway, the crying stopped completely. Then came the footsteps. Slow, heavy, crossing the laundry room floor toward the backyard again. Her father threw the door open immediately and stepped outside with the flashlight. Nothing, no movement in the alley, no one near the fence. But the disturbed section of dirt near the missing fence post looked strangely uneven beneath the flashlight beam, almost like the ground had recently been dug up again, despite nobody touching it since the marker was uncovered. The next morning, the family decided they were done waiting. Her father wrapped the headstone carefully in moving blankets while her mother contacted the cemetery groundskeeper from earlier in the week. By noon, they loaded the marker into the bed of the truck and drove it up the hill toward the cemetery outside town. The entire drive there felt strangely tense. Nobody argued or joked the way they normally would during errands like that. Even her younger daughter stayed unusually quiet in the back seat watching the wrapped stone through the rear window. At one point, her mother finally admitted something she had avoided saying out loud until then. She thought whatever was happening in the house wanted them to find the marker, not to scare them, to uncover it. That idea settled heavily over the truck for the rest of the drive. The groundskeeper met them near the older section of the cemetery beneath a cluster of massive oak trees overlooking town. He studied the weathered marker quietly for several moments after they unwrapped it, gently brushing dirt from the faded lettering with his thumb. Then he nodded once. "I think she belongs here," he said softly. Nobody asked how he knew. The cemetery allowed them to place the marker near the oldest graves until officials could decide what to do permanently. Her father and brother carried the stone carefully between rows of worn headstones while wind moved through the trees overhead. For the first time in days, her mother said the strange heaviness she had been feeling finally started lifting. Not completely. Just enough to notice. That night, the house felt different, quieter. The family still stayed tense after dark, out of habit, but nobody heard footsteps crossing the laundry room anymore. The dog stopped growling toward the backyard and finally wandered near the fence line again without reacting. Still, the activity did not disappear entirely, not immediately. Over the next several weeks, small things continued happening now and then. A door opening softly downstairs late at night. Brief footsteps in the hallway that faded before anyone could follow them. Once, her daughter woke up insisting she heard someone humming quietly outside her bedroom window. But the crying stopped, completely. And whatever tension had settled over the house after the marker was uncovered slowly faded with it. A month later, her father received another call from the cemetery groundskeeper. Apparently, county records recovered after an archive project confirmed there really had been a small private burial plot somewhere near their neighborhood during the late 1800s. Most of the graves were relocated decades later when the town expanded, but records involving one child's burial disappeared after a courthouse fire sometime in the early 20th century. The child's name was Lucy. After hearing that, nobody in the family questioned the experience anymore. Not completely, anyway. Years have passed since then, and the house never became active the way it was during those weeks after the discovery. The footsteps stopped, the dogs relaxed. Her daughter eventually felt comfortable sleeping in her room again. Life slowly returned to normal, but every once in a while, usually late in the evening when the house is quiet, someone in the family still notices movement near the back fence line out of the corner of their eye. Never inside the house. And sometimes during the summer when the windows are open and the neighborhood has settled for the night, her mother still hears what sounds like a little girl humming softly somewhere beyond the yard. Not frightened. Not crying. Just there.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.